Our sermon today is based on a reading from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 26. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time came to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle, so they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Thank you, God, for the wonderful stories we read in your word and all the different lessons we can learn from them. A while back, I was in the grocery store picking up some stuff, and I saw another woman coming down the aisle towards me. She was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Pray like a girl." Of course, I was intrigued at once, and my mind went immediately to the different praying women we can read about in the Bible. As you well know, sometimes in the Bible, women's stories are glossed over, deemed unimportant, or at least not as important as the stories featuring men. But these stories are in the Bible for a reason. They're there to teach us lessons about life and love, service and sacrifice. And what better time to examine some of our sisters' stories than during Women's History Month? So let's start with Rebekah. When we first look at Rebekah, we can see she's firmly ensconced in performing the expected activities of a woman of her day and time. We see her first coming to the well to water her family's sheep. Sheep tending was mainly a woman's job, probably because it didn't require a whole lot of skill, didn't call for a whole lot of knowledge, and didn't provide a whole lot of mental challenge. What woman needed that? When Abraham's servant Eliezer approaches Rebekah and asks for a drink, she shifts right into hospitality mode, offering to water his camels as well. Little did she know that this was exactly the sign Eliezer was looking for. You see, Abraham had sent him to Haran to find a wife for his son Isaac. He stopped at the well to get his bearings and prayed that God would send him the right woman for Isaac, the one to whom he said, "Please give me a drink of water," and who answered him, "Certainly, and I will water your camels too." Rebekah was the answer to prayer. When Eliezer went to her family home and told them of his mission and how Rebekah had said exactly what he had prayed to hear, the family couldn't help but acknowledge divine intervention had clearly played a part in this meeting, and they all agreed Rebekah should marry Isaac. But then the girl got a chance few women of her time were afforded. Instead of telling her that she would be leaving her family to marry someone she'd never seen, they asked her if she was willing to go with Eliezer back to Abraham. Women in those days were given opportunities to choose. It was always, "You're gonna marry this guy, like him or not, bada bing, done." But Rebekah's family actually asked for and respected her opinion. She said, "Yes, I'll go," pretty quickly. That makes me suspect she was looking forward to being out from under her father's and her brother's thumbs and was longing to live a different kind of life. Not just mindlessly tending mindless sheep. She wanted out of there. She wanted to visit other places. She wanted a life of her own. She wanted a house and a husband of her own. The family tried to get her to stay a little longer, but Rebekah was ready to go right now. Most likely, the life she envisioned for herself included plenty of children, so she was frustrated and disappointed and unhappy that she didn't have children for the first 20 years of her marriage to Isaac. There was also a tinge of shame in her heart. A woman's worth was predicated on her ability to produce children. Barrenness was a sign of God's disfavor. A child was the ultimate sign of God's blessing and approval. The more children you had, the more blessed you obviously were. So neighbors and family and friends alike would give her sideways glances. What have you done, Rebecca, to bring God's disfavor on you? What did you do to make God look away from you, Rebecca? How many days and nights did she agonize over her childless state? How many times did she burst into tears when someone else showed off her new baby? How desperately her heart longed for the ultimate sign of God's favor. For 20 years, she hoped and prayed. And Isaac, her husband, seeing her sorrow, did his best to comfort her and reassure her. At one point, he prayed for his wife. Well, probably consistently and persistently he prayed for her. And lo and behold, she became pregnant. Yay, Rebecca. Her pregnancy probably started out like many pregnancies. There was excitement and happiness after being childless for so long, and relief. God's not angry at me anymore. She was soon planning and preparing and waiting and dreaming what it would be like to finally have her very own baby. But then things started to become not so good for Rebecca. This pregnancy was an answer to prayer, so why wasn't it all rosy and cozy? What was going on? Why was she in such pain and distress? Her cry can be translated as, "What am I destined for?" She had no idea she was having twins. They didn't have ultrasound back then. So feeling the struggling and wrestling of the babies inside her made her wonder what in the world was going on. She probably talked to other pregnant women and mothers. "Hey, do you have morning sickness?" she asked. "Morning sickness," they said. "More like all day sickness." "Does your baby move?" Rebecca continued. "Yes, it's like a frog burping in my belly. It's so cute." "Really?" Rebecca replied. "My child moves so much it keeps me up at night. It's constantly bumping and thumping and tossing and turning. It's terrible. I'm worn out and it hurts." This hadn't happened to other women? Then what was going on? Rebecca decided there was but one thing to do. She had to go and ask God what was happening. It's interesting to note that this is one of the first times in the Bible where a woman took the initiative into her own hands and went to God herself to pray and seek an answer. Now, of course, we are glad Isaac had such affection and regard for his wife that he prayed and asked God to grant them a child. He knew it was what they both wanted, and he knew it would make his wife happy. But he couldn't go to God this time and tell him what was going on with Rebecca because he had no idea what it was like for her. He was probably puzzled that she was in such distress. He could pray again for some respite for Rebecca, but he had no idea what it felt like. He couldn't know the fear in her heart that something was wrong. I bet you he said something like, "I know how you feel, Becky. I had this kidney stone once, and man, the pain." To which she would have replied, "No, Izzy, you don't know what it's like. You have no idea. You can't imagine how this feels." So she knew she had to go directly to God for an answer. How faithful Rebecca was to believe she could go to God herself and pour out her troubles and worries and actually receive an answer from God. It was not enough this time for Isaac to intercede for her. It was not enough this time for Isaac to give God a second-hand account of what was going on. This time, Rebecca had to go to God herself and describe what she was feeling and wait for God to answer her, not Isaac. She was not willing to wait to go through different channels for the reply to her prayer. She wanted to go to God herself and hear God's answer herself. For anyone who ever thought God didn't pay attention to women's prayers or answer women's prayers or required women to send their prayers and requests and questions to a man, here we have definitive proof that God does pay attention to women's prayers and God does answer women's prayers and God could and women could go right to God with their cares and concerns. What makes Rebecca's encounter so compelling is that in her day and time, the man was the sovereign and the priest in the household, and so women were not expected to do their own praying. They were expected to go to the head of the household, the husband, and let him bring her case before the Lord. But this was a time and a case where Rebecca couldn't rely on someone else to present her petition with accuracy. She had to do it herself. No one else, least of all Isaac, knew what it felt like to have such a tough pregnancy. Bold Becca headed out somewhere to talk to God to get an answer for herself firsthand. I wonder if perhaps Isaac had built an altar to God in the vicinity where he offered the family's prayers, or perhaps Rebecca simply found a quiet, secluded spot where she could vent and fume and listen for God. And what an unexpected message she received. We probably can't say this was the first ever incidence of twins being born in the world, but it is the first recorded incidence in the Bible of twins. Rebecca received reassurance that nothing was wrong with her. It was just a unique situation. She was going to have twins. How delighted Rebecca must have been. Two babies, a double blessing, a doubly wonderful answer to her and Isaac's prayers. One of God's surprises. It certainly made up for their long wait. God spoke directly to Rebecca. There was no middleman. There was no need for her to wait to see what God said to someone else about her. God told her exactly what was going on. She would have two babies, and that was awesome, all right. But they would turn the usual scheme of things upside down. The older one would serve the younger one. That would be quite a switch. There was an even greater promise in God's answer that two nations would come into being through these two boys, not just one small family in one small part of the world, but two entire nations. What a wonderful promise. Rebecca's mind was set at ease. She had received an answer of peace and comfort and reassurance that she would survive childbirth, a serious concern for women in that era. And everything God told her came to be. Indeed, Jacob, the secondborn, the trickster, the heel grabber, suckered the firstborn Esau out of his birthright and out of the blessing Isaac planned to give him. Just as there wasn't enough room in their mother's womb for the two of them, so it proved there wasn't enough room in the land of promise for the two of them, and they went their separate ways when they grew up. So how can we pray like this girl? How can we pray like Rebecca? When there's but one thing to do, go to God for yourself, you guys too. Pour out to God what is going on in your life, pain, heartache, dismay, despair, disappointment. Like Rebecca, you can ask, what in the world is going on? Present your problem to God fully and honestly. Tell God about your fear, your worry. Lay it on the line exactly how you feel and ask for an answer. Rebecca didn't have to wait for Isaac to speak to God on her behalf. She couldn't. Only she could tell her story. Only she could explain exactly how it felt to have this tussling and turmoil in her tummy. In the same way, only you can tell your story of struggle to God. Only you can tell God how it feels to worry about your child or your friend or your husband or yourself. Facing illness, tell God what frightens you about the unknown. Facing loss, tell God what daunts you about moving ahead into the future. Facing change, tell God what chokes your courage and keeps you from taking a step of faith. Embrace the answer you receive. Rebecca remembered God's word to her about the reverse order of hierarchy her sons would experience. When she overheard Isaac getting ready to give Esau the blessing reserved for the firstborn son, she knew that was not in God's plans for their boys. God had revealed the future to Rebecca, whether Isaac knew that part or forgot it, but Rebecca didn't, and she made sure to intervene and make sure what God had decreed would be done indeed. So how can we pray like this girl? Pray your own prayers. Seek God's wisdom for your life yourself. Vent and fume and listen. Accept God's answer and God's surprises, words of assurance and challenge and hope, and work with God to be sure God's will is done. And oh yes, give God thanks for hearing and helping you. Let us pray like this girl, our sister, Rebecca. God, when something is troubling us, when we are worried and scared and confused, we come to you and pray for your insight and wisdom and your answer of comfort and reassurance. We pray like Rebecca, with a bold initiative to come right to you with whatever is on our hearts and minds. And like this girl, we pray to have the courage and the strength and the faith to know and to do your will. Thank you for hearing Rebecca's prayer and ours too. Amen. Wonderful to be with you today and to share with you some of the stories of our sisters in the Bible. We will find out more and learn how to pray like all those girls in the Bible. May God be with you this day and always. Amen.